Thank you so much for your kind words, Jaco. And good evening, church. Believe you guys are hungry for the Word of God. Believe that you are hungry for God. Amen. You know what? Temple worship so much differed from church worship than that we have in our days. In temple worship, you know what? When the people came to the temple, they had this huge expectation to meet with God. You know what? One of the Psalms, David said, you know, he said, "I was glad when they say, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" You know, they had this huge, huge, huge expectation because they know somewhere there, you know, in the holiest of holies with the presence of God. So they had, you know, this expectation, you know, for the presence of God. And then when they came, they came to sacrifice. So there was a spirit of sacrifice. They brought with them a lamb or something, a cow, you know, a bull, I don't know what, you know, your Old Testament. But there was such, you know, they came ready to sacrifice. And in the New Testament, the Word of God tells us that, you know, we must sacrifice our bodies. Isn't that right? In Romans chapter 12. And you know, it's so good that, you know, as Christo led us tonight, you know, it's just to use your hands and use your arms and, you know, it can even start dancing, you know. I'm not good with that, but, but, you know, we must give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because God wants to use our bodies. You know what? Jesus is no longer here on earth. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have, you know, legs. You know what? If he wants to do something, he wants to use us. Okay? And also, you know, when they came to pray. Because God says, "My house will be called a house of prayer." So guys, I just want to encourage you tonight is that when you come to church, have a big expectation from God. Because Jesus said, you know, you will only receive according to your faith. So if there is an expectation in your heart, God will meet with you. And God wants to meet with people. He loves His people. He wants to meet with His people. And come to sacrifice. Come to give yourself. Okay? You know what? Jesus came to sacrifice. The whole thing about Christianity is a thing about sacrifice. Amen? It's about giving yourself. Giving yourself to God in the first place, but then also, you know, to give yourself to those around you. Okay, and then, you know, we must be ready to pray. Because the Bible says we must always pray. When must we pray? Always. We must pray. We must always pray. Prayer isn't something we do. It's like breathing, you know, just staying in the presence of God. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you for your like Jaco said, your tangible presence. We just honor you, God. We thank you that Jesus, that you became man. Thank you that you became a man. You were the second Adam. And thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you gave everything. And thank you that you did not hold anything back. Because the devil is telling that lie to us all the time. That God's withholding something from you. And God, we just cut off that lie tonight in the name of Jesus. Because He has given us everything. And we just thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen. This morning I just touched on a subject on when God starts to move. You know, and that when God moves, He uses people. And I just sense when I was driving home, God said, you know, I want you to prepare, you know, a message on obedience. Obedience, which I believe is the secret to a prophetic lifestyle. The people that God is raising today is a prophetic people. God uses, God wants His church to be prophetic. You remember when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts, one of the signs that accompanied the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was they prophesied. When you go and read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and Paul is speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he says, I want you all to prophesy. And I remember, you know, back somewhere, I think it's in Numbers. You know what? When God came down and Moses had all the leaders gathered and God put some of the spirit that was on Moses on the other leaders. You still remember that? And they all started to prophesy. And then one guy came there and he told Moses, he said to Moses, Moses, there are some, you know, of the people that's not part of the leadership. They also are prophesying. And then Moses said, if all the Lord's people can be prophets. So prophecy is very near to the heart of God. But I'm not going to speak to you about prophecy. I want to speak to you about the prophetic lifestyle. It's a lifestyle where you hear the voice of God and you obey the voice of God and you do the voice of God. Because the Bible says, if you only hear, then you are not blessed. But who's the people that are blessed? Those that do His word. If you want to build a house that can stand against every storm, you need to build your house on the rock. You need to build your house on the word of God. And how do you do it? When you start doing His word, when you start hearing His voice, and when you start doing His voice. Now, when the devil came to Jesus. Matthew 3, Matthew 4, he started to tempt Jesus. And whom of you know that when the devil starts to tempt you, he will always start to attack your identity. He will tell you a lie. In Genesis, you know what God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. You know what? And then the devil came and he said, did God say? Yes, He did. But you know what? When it comes to tempts us, you know what? There's 10%, 20% truth. The rest is a lie. He doesn't come with the whole lie, you know, all at once. So when Jesus was baptized, the Father said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So the first temptation, the devil said, if you are the Son of God, prove yourself. Isn't that fantastic? We don't need to prove ourselves. Our identity is in Jesus. A Christian, when he takes out his ID, opens his ID, there's a photo of Jesus in it, because Jesus is our identity. We must become like Him. Okay? And that's why Jesus died on the cross. So Jesus, you know, He answered him. And He answered him from the Old Testament. He answered him from the Word of God. And you can look it up in that difficult book of Deuteronomy. Is that how you pronounce it? Thank you. The fifth one. And he says, man will not live by bread alone, but man will live by every word that proceeds from the Word of God. You know what? There's a word that is proceeding from His mouth. And do you and I, we must position ourselves to hear that word. Because Jesus is saying, that word is My life. He fasted for 40 days. Were you hungry? I suppose so. But you know what? He says there's something more important than to be hungry. And that is the Word of God. Man, he says, man will not live by bread alone. But man will live by the Word that proceeds from his mouth. And you and I must seek that Word. We must come into His presence so that we can know what is God speaking to us. Because His words are our life. In Hebrews he says that the Word of God is... it's strong, it's powerful. And then he says, it touches and changes our hearts. And we need to move with the very Word of God. So, tonight, I just want to give you a few principles on obedience as a prophetic lifestyle. And if your Bibles are here, you can turn with me to the book of Kings. The book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 70. 1 Kings... talk about the life of Elijah. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets. He was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. God used him in a mighty way. And when Jesus referred to the Old Testament, he talked about Moses and Elijah. Moses was the law and the prophets. And prophetic people, you know, I just love them. Because they carry with them the presence of God. Don't know if you know any prophetic people. You know, when you come into their presence, you're like, you know, don't look to me like that. You know, what are you seeing that I trying to hide, you know? but they carry with them the presence of God. So let's just read 1 Kings 17 verse 1. To 7. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" Okay, you can roll it. "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherit, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherit, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." And it says, verse 7, let me just see here. Verse 7 says, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." So I just want to share with you tonight a few principles of living prophetically. Allowing God to work His word into my life so that God can use me. Now, when you read 1 Kings chapter 17, it is as Elijah is coming from nowhere. You know, usually the Bible will tell you this was this guy's mum. You know, this was his father. When you read the history of the kings, it just amazes me how many times it says, "And this king, his mom was this and this." Just the other day, you know, God showed me a scripture. I think it was in 2 Chronicles chapter 27 about Jotham. And it said, "And his mother's name was Yeshura. And she was the daughter of the priest. And the priest's name was Zadok or Tzadok." Which in Hebrew means righteousness. And you know what? A godly mother, a mother that fears God, I think is the biggest present you can give any kid. Because godly mothers shape a nation. God-fearing mothers shape a nation. They're not perfect, but they're God-fearing. They know what's right, they know what's wrong. You know, you can't lie to your mother. You know that. You want to lie to her? She just knows something is wrong here. Where were you? Don't tell me a lie. So godly mothers is very important. But Elijah, you know what? He had no mom. He had no. Well, he had no. The Bible doesn't mention his mom. It doesn't mention his dad. But what does it mention? It says this very, very important words. If you can just go there. Number one, in the slides. Okay, just go on. Carry on till verse 7, and then there's point number 1. Okay? Yes. Elijah, you know what, when he appeared to Ahab, the first thing that he said is, as the Lord God of Israel lives. And you know what, church, what we need is, we need a conviction that God is a living God. God is not dead. God is not just an idea. God isn't just someone that you read of in the Bible. God is a living God. Elijah said, you know what? Because God was shaping this man's life. God was working in this man's life. Where he was, where God trained him, where God prepared him, I don't know. But God said to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go to Ahab. And we will talk a little bit later about Ahab. But God said, I want you to go to the king and I want you to deliver a word to the king. So Elijah stands before the king and he said, as the Lord God of Israel lives. Guys, this needs to be our conviction. This needs to be our experience that God is a living God. How do we know God? We know God by experience. We know God by revelation. You know what? To know God isn't just something intellectual, that I've read something about Him. I read in the Bible about God. The people in the Bible had an experience with God. They know that God was a living God. If you read the, you know, the father of our faith, Abraham, he had such an experience with God. God spoke to him. And so many times people say, you know what, that was Old Testament. Let me tell you, the guys in the Old Testament, some of them had a bigger experience of God than you and I have in the New Testament. God spoke to Moses. God appeared to Moses. God spoke to Abraham. You know what, Abraham was like, He was a heathen, but he was able to hear the voice of God. And so many times, you know what, people would say, you know, when you ask them, do you know when the devil is speaking to you? They would say, yes. And when you ask him, do you know when God is speaking to you? They say, and Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep. They know my voice. His voice is different. So Elijah, when he stands before Ahab, he says, as the God of Israel lives. You know, Hebrews 11, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? And then it says, help me. For he who goes to him must know that he is, that he exists. Thank you so much. So without faith, we cannot please him. And our faith is not in a book. Our faith is not in an idea. Our faith is in a living God. God is a living God. And if you and I, if we believe that he is a living God, our lifestyles will show it. We will live differently. We will live in the way that God is our source. That He is a God that heals people. Like, you know what? It's so easy to say, I believe that God saves people. But when you say it, you must put your faith into action. Because faith that is just words means nothing. To say that God saves people is one thing, but to go out and to tell people that Jesus died on the cross for them and he paid the highest price, that's faith in action. Because faith and obedience goes hand in hand. You know, you can know that Jesus died for you on the cross, but you know what? It must be in your heart. You must believe it in your heart and you must confess it with your mouth. The Bible says, then you will be saved. You must do something about what you believe. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. If you know what, so many times we say we believe that God is a healer, but you know what? If we believe it, we must go to the sick, we must lay hands on them, we must pray, we must trust God. Are you still with me? So God's church, you know what? The church of the New Testament, especially the church of Acts, like the one preacher I was listening to the other day, he says, it is the Acts of the Apostles. It's not the revelation of the apostles. So church is an acting church. And this morning I spoke to a lady. Yes, she said, oh, we're going for missions to Europe. I said, wow, that's fantastic. And our church in Paul, they are blessing the teams. So one team is going to Namibia, the other team is going to India. And I see on Facebook, they said, wow, that shofar is sending out the most mission teams of any church in South Africa. Guys, it's when we go that things start to happen. Are you still here? It is when we go that things start to happen. People say, why don't we see miracles in church? Because Jesus said, when you go, you will see the miracles. Are you still with me? Okay, it's when we obey that things starts to happen. It is not when we come to be spectators. Are you still with me? It's when we come to give. You know, in Luke 10 and in Matthew chapter 10, he sent out his disciples. Okay. So church has much to do with action. Trusting God. Having an expectation of him. That one blind guy, you still remember his name? Hy het ook so moeilik 'n naam. Bartolomeus. Okay, you remember that guy? Jesus was coming around and he heard that Jesus was healing people. So he said, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. You know, and the people said, shh, shh, you know, don't bother Jesus, you know, be quiet. And he would say, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And they said, no, don't bother the master. And he would cry out. On the top of his voice. And then Jesus stopped. And sometimes we have to cry out at the top of our voices to get God's attention. It's not that he doesn't know that we are crying out. It is just sometimes he sees how far will we go. He's testing us to see how far will we go. Because God tests people. The first one he tests in the Bible was Abram. He spoke this morning about Abram, how he tested Abram. And I love that man. I love his faith. I love his faith. Because he knew that God was a living God. You know what? They went up the mountain. And his son said, okay, Father, we've got the fire, check. We've got the knife, check. But we've got nothing to sacrifice. There's no lamp here. And Abraham said, you know what? God will provide. And don't ever use Jehovah Jireh, you know, in connotation with money. It has nothing to do with money. It's about the provide, it's about the savior that God would provide. Because on the very mountain that Abraham brought his son, you know, he tied him to the altar. He was ready to took the knife and to slit this vein. God says, don't do it. And Abraham said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. 2,000 years later, God provided the lamb that died on that same mountain. God will provide. You know what? He had a revelation of who he is. And we need a revelation of who he is. He is a living God. Like David. You know, David was, very interestingly, he was tending his father's sheep. Anyone here wants to be used by God? Let me just, anyone? A few of you? Okay. Thank you. But you know, David was tending his father's sheep. And then the prophet came there, the prophet Samuel, and Samuel said, okay, God gave him, instructions. God said, go to the house of Jesse. And I want you to, you know, to anoint a new king for me. Because the one Saul, you know, was doing his own thing. And the Bible says it regretted God that he anointed, you know, that he made Saul king. And so, you know what, he saw the first son of Jesse when Samuel arrived there. And this, you know, he was like this bodybuilder. He was big. He was tall. He was, you know, a vleispaleis geweest. And Samuel said, this must be the man. And God said, no, I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking what's on the inside. So they went through all the sons, no one. You know, okay, Samuel must be thinking to himself, did I miss God? But he wasn't thinking like that. He said, is there no other one? Oh, yeah, they said, there's one looking after the sheep. There's one tending the sheep. You know what? It's very, very interesting that Jesus, before he was released into ministry, guess what he was doing? He was working in his father's carpenter shop. It's when you serve the father of the house that God will release you to do greater things. You know, you don't do the greater things first. You first serve in the house. And when you serve in the house and when you prepare yourself, it's then when opportunity comes over your path. Are you still with me? You remember one day, Jesse said to David, David, come here, your brothers are at the battlefield, and I want you to take them all the snacks, you know, and chips, and, you know, and some Cokes, you know, and some pizzas, you know, they're fighting in the army, and you can go and read it. David, he woke up that morning very early. He take responsibility. He had someone looking after the sheep while he was gone. Okay? He went there to the battlefield. When he came to the battlefield, there was action. Goliath was humiliating God's people. Okay? But, you know, first, responsibility. All the stuff that he brought, he put it with a caretaker. And then he ran to the battlefield. What's going on here? It was like in a usual day's work. But you know what? He was ready. He was prepared. Don't wait for the opportunity to come first. Prepare yourself. David was tending his father's sheep. One day the bear came. And guess what he did? He ran away. No, he didn't. It wasn't his sheep. But you know what? He fought that bear. The other day a lion came. He didn't run away. He fought that lion. And if you want God to use you, you know, be faithful in the little things. Be faithful where God has put you. If you're a cell leader, be faithful with the people that God has put under your care. If you're just a member here, be faithful to serve this house. You know what? Because it is when we serve that God meet us. Jesus said, I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve and to give my life a ransom to many. So Elijah, the first thing that we read about Elijah is that he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives. He knows that God is a living person. He knows that God is a real entity. He knows that God touches and changes the course of history. Okay, as the Lord God of Israel lives. And then the next thing he says is before whom I stand. And that before whom I stand, it means to live daily in his presence. You know, but the people in the Bible, when they prayed, they were standing and they lifted up their hands. Somewhere Paul wrote, he says, I want all men to raise up holy hands. He says, I want you to pray with your hearts pure. Okay. So he said, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. And it's so important that you and I stand before God, that we press into the presence of God. We need the presence of God. Because the presence of God will transform us. Are you still with me? How does God transform us? When we press in into His presence. When we press in to see Him. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says that by the Holy Spirit, as we gaze upon Him, the Holy Spirit works transformation in our hearts. You cannot see God and stay the same. When you see Him, something changes. And what you see about Him works in your heart. That's why when Jesus, He wrote the seven letters to the church in Revelations, every time when He starts a letter, He would say, "Thus saith." And then He would say something about Himself. That which He said about Himself is what the church needed. Are you still with me? When Moses met God at the burning bush, he said, "Who will I say have sent me? What's your name?" He said, "I am that I am." What's he saying to Moses? He's saying to Moses, "Moses, I will be everything that you will need on this journey." Did they need water? Yes. Did God provide the water? Yes. Did they need food? Lots of it. They needed manna. They needed bread. Did God provide it? Yes. You know, and then they tempted God. They said, "Can He?" You know what? He led us through the Red Sea. He gave us bread. But can He give us meat? And you can read it, you know. And God sent the quails. And because they tempted God, when the quails come, they put it in their mouth. They overeat. Gluttony in its worst form. And thousands of them died because they tempted God. They wanted to see if He could do it. He can do anything. Are you still with me? So, you know what? We need to live in His presence, because His presence, when we live in His presence, we cannot stay the same. We cannot be the same people. When you are in His presence, He changes you. When you are in His presence, you become like Him. When you are in His presence, you know what? You suddenly are aware of your own shortcomings. You are aware of, you know what, the sin in your life. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah had this vision of God sitting on the throne, you know, and the angels were worshipping God. And angelic worship is a little bit different than that we are doing it. Because the word of God says the angels, they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And this is like Isaiah was standing there. And he said, "Woe me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live between people that are unclean." You know, when you come close, you just realize how contaminated you are. And then one of the angels, you know what, they took a coal, you know, and one, you know, put it in a tongue, and they just touch his lips with it. And the coal is, it all talks about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the fire of God. So Elijah said, you know, "As the Lord God lives, before whom I stand." And then he speaks God's word. Number three, he says, number two. Oh, that's where the fault is. He speaks a word. He said, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And you know what? This is a very bold statement. Can you think that God tells you to go to our president, Mr. Zuma, you know what, and tell him something in line like this? You think we're ready? I think I'm not ready. But anyway, there's Elijah, and he said, "There will be no dew, there will be no rain these years except at my word." Now, he speaks his word to the very heart of Baal worship. I don't know if you've done a study of Baal worship. Any Bible school students here? Okay, there's a few of you. Okay, but Baal worship, or yeah, it's a fertility kind of worship. They believe that Baal, you know, he gave the rain, he blesses the harvest, you know, and that's why they run to Baal worship. But it was also sexual immoral worship, because when they came to the Baal temples, they were temple prostitutes for this whole thing of fertility, and so their flesh went after this thing. That's why God hated the Baal worship so much. So he speaks his words at the very heart of Baal worship, because Baal worship, you know, it guaranteed like the harvest. It's a fertility, paganistic, you know, kind of idolatry. And now Elijah says, you know what? You know what, King Ahab? There will be no dew. There will be no rain except at my word. Whose word is he speaking? He's speaking God's word. God set him up. God said, you go and you speak this to Ahab. So Baal was this fertility idolatry. Ahab was a very, very wicked king. Because Ahab, let's just see here in chapter 16, verse 30 says, now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, and we'll talk about that another day, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ekbal, the king of the Sidonians. So what was this king's name? He was a Baal worshipper. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So Ahab was like the pinnacle of wickedness. And God sent his man, God sent his prophet to him, saying to him, there will be no dew, there will be no rain, except at my word. And you could think, you know, if the king hears that word, there will be a price on the prophet's life. This king will want to kill him. And you know what? He wasn't afraid. He stepped out. He did what God told him to do. Okay, the next one. Okay, obedience opens up the well of God's word. That's so important, because in verse 2, you know what? The moment Ahab obeyed, say with me, obeyed. Okay? Say to your friend next to you, obey. Okay. Samuel the prophet said, obedience is better than sacrifice. So obedience is so important. Obedience is sacrifice. God, you know what? God shaped Elijah's life. He formed Elijah's life. Elijah, you know what? He was convicted that God is an entity. He's a living being. He worshipped him. He was in his presence. Now he obeyed God. He went to Ahab. He delivered the word. The moment you are obedient, you open the well of God's word. Because the next thing, God spoke to him again. Sometimes we say, you know what, if God will only speak to me. But you know why isn't God not speaking to you? Because you were not obedient to the last time he spoke to you. Are you still here? Okay. You know what, God is not someone that will waste, what you ask him, your breath. He won't waste his breath if you're not obedient. You know what, sometimes we're just inquiring of God. Like when you talk to your friend, you know, what would you do in this situation? And sometimes we're just inquiring from God, oh God, what do you want me to do? But actually you don't want to do it. That's why God's not speaking to you. Because if you want to hear the voice of God, you must, you know, oh, how do I put it in English? Hallelujah. You must sort yourself out to do his word. If you, like Mary, you know, has sorted yourself out and saying, God, when you speak to me, I will give you my yes. He will speak to you. Are you still with me? Because the angel came to him, he said, you're gonna give birth to the Messiah. You know what? And everything wasn't right. You know, what would the parents say? What would the church people say? What would the family say? You know, what would everyone say? What would her boyfriend say? Are you still here? And she said, let it me. Let it be with me according to your word. So here's Elijah. You know what? He went out. He did. He was obedient to what God told him to do. He did it. And the next moment, verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, God speaks to those who obey him. Acts 5:32 says, God gives his Holy Spirit to those who are obedient. You want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Start to obey God. Start to listen to God. Start to do what God is speaking to you. Okay. So the next one, number 4, there is clarity in God's voice. You know what? When God speaks, people in the Bible always knew what God was saying to them. Moses knew what God said to him. Abraham knew what was God saying to him. When Jesus called his disciples, they knew what God was saying to them. Are you still with me? Okay. Old Testament, New Testament, it's the Word of God. God hasn't changed. We just moved into a new covenant. Okay? And suddenly the stakes are a little bit higher. Have you realized that? Okay, you haven't realized that. Jesus said, you know what? In the Old Testament, they did this and this and that. It was written, but I tell you, the stakes are suddenly higher. Old Testament, you know, if you slept with a woman, then you committed adultery. But Jesus said, but I say to you, if you look to a woman, I tell you, you've already did it. So the stakes are higher. But bless God, the grace is more. And grace is not the big cover up. Hello? Grace is God's power. God's enabling. Okay, so God's voice is clear. In verse 3, God told him, he says, get away from here. He told him, turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith. Three things. Get away, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith. It's very clear. When God speaks to you, it's clear. Okay? God has this manner that he don't waste words when he speaks to us. You know, when God tells you, like, when God is speaking to you, he will just say, fast. And you will know exactly what it means. If God, you know, God can speak to you something like, forgive. And you know exactly what it means. You know who's the person. You know what the situation is. Are you still with me? God's voice is clear. When God speaks, it is clear. When he created the heavens and the earth, his voice was clear. God said, let there be light. Ever thought where that light came from? Are you still here? Because the sun and the moon and the stars were made, was it day 4? Or day 3? Let there be light. And there was. No electricity, no moon, no sun, no nothing. There was light. Okay? God is life. Because he's life, he can order light. My son told me the other day, I took him to Bible school with me. I was lecturing there. And we were speaking about, someone asked a question on that, you know, this whole thing about the Trinity, that God is one being, but he's three persons. And I tried to answer him the best as I could, because it started there in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God hovered above the, you know, this mess, this darkness. And verse 3 says, and God said, it's there. And then he said to me something very, very, very interesting. Because the smallest form of life we call an atom. An atom. Okay? And the atom has got a nucleus, and then it's got the proton and the neutron. And he said, Dad, he said, I want to tell you something very interesting. He says that when you break down a proton and you break down a neutron, you get stuff that only works in a team of three. We're talking about the building stones of life. He says they only work in threes. They only work in a team of three. They are called quarks. Quarke in Afrikaans. This man, you know physics. You know, and it's so fantastic. He says, and if one leaves, the other two, they are just like energy. They just become energy. Is that right? Wow. You know what? Life, you know, in the most simplest form, in the smallest form, in threes. So God is a living God. So he spoke. He said, let there be light. Okay, and you can figure that one out. What was that light? So there's a clarity. God says, get away, turn eastward, hide. Okay, then the next one, number five. His word opens up supernatural provision. So we need to obey God. You know, the more you love him, the more easier it becomes to obey him. Are you still with me? You know what? The more you love him, because when you love him, you know he really just wants to do the best for you. God's heart is no way to hit you over the head or, you know, do something to you that will hurt you. If he says, you know, go through this, that's the best for you. That is the heart. So his word opens up supernatural provision. Verse 4 says, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he says, you know, get away, turn eastward, go to the brook. He says, and when you go, when you do that, he said, you know, there's a brook, it will give you water, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, ravens usually don't share their food. You know what? And this is just another test for Elijah. So saying, okay, God, if this is what you are saying, I need to trust you. And when I trust him, I obey. And obedience is like putting your faith in him. Okay? So God says, okay, when you do that, I have a plan ready. When does the plan kick in? The moment you obey. It's not first the food and then you go. God, show me that place. Show me where the ravens are. Let me see them coming with the food. No. You need to trust his word. You need to say, okay, God, if you say, if God, this is a word proceeding from your mouth, this is my life. This is life to me. Okay, you still with me? Okay, so you commanded the ravens to feed you. The next one, number six, says obedience brings the word of God into fulfillment. What happened? He went and he did according to the word of the Lord. So he went, he did, he ran away, he turned eastward, he went to the brook, for he went and he stayed at the brook which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. Prophetic diet. Okay. Where did they get the bread and meat from? Someone said it was from the morning sacrifices at the temple and the evening sacrifices. If it's so, I don't know. But it's a good illustration. You know what? God cares for those who belongs to him. So, you know what? He made the stew every night, bread, meat, drank from the brood. There was water, there was bread, there was meat, you know. Any cook can do something with bread, meat, and water. Okay, you still with me? So God provided. You know what? The obedience brings the word of God into fulfillment. There was godly provision. There was divine provision. The moment you obey, things start to happen. You say, I want to go on mission, but I don't have the money. The moment I have the money, I will go. Guess what? You will never have the money. But if you say, God, if you speak to me, I will go. I will trust you for the money. You will have the money. Hello? You see, we first want to see the results. And if we see the results, then we want to choose if we are going to obey or not. But God's not working that way. He's too clever for us. He's too wise for us. You know what? He wants us. He is preparing us for eternity. The Bible says His angels, you know what? They are all around the throne. They just wait that He speaks a word so that they can go out and fulfill that word. They are, I think one of the Psalms says they are fiery, help me, fiery servants, I think. Okay? They're ready to do His word. They're ready to do His word. Okay? So one day we will be out of this world. We won't have a body. Praise God for that day. And then we will have spiritual bodies. And it will be quite different. It will be quite different. So God is training us for that life. Okay, so that's the prophetic diet that he was following. And the next one, number 6-7, the test of famine. So what happened? After a while, the brook dried up. Were in the place that God commanded him to be? Yes. Why did the brook dry up? You know, sometimes, you know, God says, marry this girl. And then the brook dries up. Marry this guy, and then the brook dries up. God is still in there. Are you still with me? Because he says, you know, because there had been no rain in the land, okay? It was because of the word he spoke. There was no rain. So he was seeing this brook coming, the water coming past in this brook. And he saw that it was getting less and less and less. And what do you do when it's getting less and less and less? You can make your own plans. You can act in fear. You remember Abram, the father of our faith? God said, go to the land, I will show you. He did. He came there. He built an altar to God. He worshipped God. Then he moved on to another place. He built an altar to God. He worshipped there. And then, famine struck. Chapter 12 of Genesis. Famine struck. What did he do? Did he consult God? Did he wait on God? The Bible doesn't say it. He went to Egypt. When he stepped into Egypt, he saw, I've got problems. I've got a beautiful wife. Sarah was beautiful. And he knew he had problems. So he told Sarah, tell them I am your brother. That was half the truth and half not the truth. Because now she was his wife. And you know what? By only God's intervention, the Pharaoh didn't touch her. God gave him a dream. He summoned Abraham. He told Abraham, what are you doing to me? He gave him a royal escort out of Egypt. You can go and read it in your Bible. And he gave him some presents. One of them was an Egyptian, a slave from Egypt. Her name was Hagar. You know where did Ishmael came from? Okay, don't do your own plans. Wait on God. Because the next verse, and I just want to read it to you, verse 8 says, then the word of the Lord came to him. It's not up there, it's in your Bibles. And God says, I want you to go to another place. Let me just find the name of that place. To Zarephath. God says, I have ordered a widow to take care of you. Now that's a whole story on its own. You know what? Wait on God. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Don't follow your own plans. Trust God. Put your faith in God. Okay? Trust Him. Saying, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you're speaking to me. I don't want to do my own thing. You know what? That excursion into Egypt and coming back, and they've got this, you know, Hagar was there. And one day Sarah said, now, Abram, you and your talks about what God is saying to you, I had enough. Now you go and you help God. And God was not in it. That was a product of, you know, fleshly expedition. God said, I will give you a miracle child. Okay. I will intervene. I will come through for you. So trust God. Don't act in fear. Don't act in fear. Don't make your own plans. Proverbs chapter 3 says, you know what? Trust the Lord with everything you have. Let me just find it in the Bible and then we can conclude there. Somebody, anyone got the Living Bible here? Because the Living Bible says it's so beautiful. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3 says, verse 4, let's read from verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Such a beautiful promise that God gave us in His word. Honor Him with your first fruits. Your barns will overflow. Your vats will be filled with new wine. It speaks of, new wine speaks of the Holy Spirit. New wine, you put new wine into new wineskins. You don't put new wine into old wineskins. Let's just pray together. Father God, yes, Lord, we just want to honor You tonight. We want to honor You as a living God. We want to honor You, God, that You allow us to come close to You. God, it's like we are as close as we choose to be. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, God, that tonight You will just put such a thirst and such a hunger in our hearts and draw us just closer and closer to You. God, thank You that You've got this wonderful journey for every one of us. Because every one of us is different. You've got a different purpose. You've got a different destiny for each one's life. And God, I just pray tonight that You will just, that You will just work in every heart. And thank You, God, for what You already worked. Thank You for what You have already did tonight. And God, help us to break out of just worshiping You with our minds, just worshiping You with our souls. But help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Help us to step out in faith, God. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to increase our expectation of You and what You can do in our lives, what You will do in our lives, and what You want to do through our lives. And we just thank You, God. We just thank You. We just thank You. Won't you just stand with me? And as you stand, just engage with God. You know what God is speaking in your heart? And just engage with Him. Just react. Just spoke to Him. If God has challenged you tonight, just tell Him. If you're going to take on the challenge, if God has show you something where you've missed in the past, just bring it before Him. Just ask for His forgiveness. Say, God, I'm so sorry that I missed You there. Because God is a God of second chances. He doesn't keep our mistakes against us. So just speak it to Him. If God is speaking to you tonight, when God spoke to us, you know, if He touched something, I just sense something about forgiveness. Somebody need to forgive someone. You know, if He spoke that to you, or maybe something different, something else, but just in your heart, just say to Him, God, I'm going to do it. Just give your yes in advance. Just tell Him, yes, God. My answer is yes, I want to do it. Please help me to do it. In the name of Jesus. We just worship You, God. We just worship You. Thank You that You are a living God. Thank You that You're not just an idea. Thank You that You're the God that created the heavens and the earth. Thank You that You know the end from the beginning. You know what will happen in everyone's lives. We just thank You, God. We just thank You. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Just worship You, God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Father God, help us not to jump the gun. Elijah did not jump the gun. He saw the way the water was getting less and less and less. He saw that there was problems. He saw that the circumstances was changing. But his eyes were on You. Not on the circumstances. Not on what his natural eyes were telling him. Help us to be like an Elijah, God. Oh, God. Keeping our eyes upon You. Keeping our eyes set on You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. Is there people tonight that says, I want to go further with God? I want to choose to obey Him. I want to have more of Him. I want to experience Him in a new way. I want to experience Him in a new level. Why don't you just slip up your hand to Him? Just say, God, here I am. I want to go further. I want to experience everything that a mortal being can experience of You. Thank You, God. Father, I just pray for this people. Just pray that, God, because You hear when we respond to You. And I just pray for everyone, God, that they will experience You in a new way. That they will experience You what You promise to be. That when they take on this journey of faith, of taking You on Your word, God. Oh, Father, that they will just see that and experience that You are what You say. You are. Just give You praise, God. Just lift Your name on high. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. And then I just sense in my spirit that God, you know, some people here that says, you know, sometimes I struggle to obey God. And just please pray with me. Is there some people like this? Because we want to pray with you. I just sense in my spirit, we must just pray with you. It says, you know, just pray with me. And we're going to lay hands on you. Just pray with you. Won't you just come out to the front? We're just going to pray with you. Just lay hands. Just impart something of God on you. If you're bold enough to just step out and say, just pray with me.
Because I just sense that many of us here, your spiritual life is like where Elijah was at the brook. It feels dry. And God just gave me a picture of a wine wooden barrel. You know, with this massive kirk, in English, cork in it. And it's as if this flow of the wine can't get out. But you know, you feel spiritually dry, but you're in God's will. And God is just showing me that many of us here are living a life of compromise. because we're not walking in obedience. And God just wants to come and He just wants to pull that cork out tonight so that the wine can just go and just flood and just starts flowing. So maybe some of you here are the people that feels that way. Your life is dry. You struggle to obey God. It feels such a massive battle to obey Him. And I just want to invite you to come. Just respond, as Gerard just said. Now, I just think that that's agreement. So we can just pray for you and trust God just for a new flow. Because you are in God's will. I'm not sensing God is saying you are in God's will, but it feels dry. It feels this brook is, it's you know, there's no water, there's no substance. And God wants to touch you tonight with the Holy Spirit and just make things to become alive again. Amen? Like in a sense, I'm sensing He wants to give you new taste buds. And if you are there and we're going to worship now, just open your mouth and say, God, give me new taste buds. Just to taste and to see that God is good again. Amen.
Yes, thank you, God. Father God, your word says, Jesus, you said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And Father God, we just pray that you will help us, God, to just sort out our hearts. That we will purify our hearts, God. So that we can have a new vision, a new revelation of who you are, God. So that we can see you in the people around us. That we can see you, God, in nature. That we can see you where we go. Father God, we have put us in our families. That we can see you all around us. Father God, just touch our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that your hand will be on each and everyone. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the fellowship of your Spirit. We just thank you, God. Worship you. You are an awesome God. We just thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you say, what I have started, I will finish. And we just thank you for that. For we prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.